Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples. Nick McNamara here joining me too, and Perry Wiggins joining us in studio for his monthly visit. He's on the Governor's Military Council. Perry, it's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, great to be here.
And you rolled in all the way from Chapman, huh?
Yeah, all the way from the 9-degree area of Chapman to about the 11-degree area of Manhattan.
Now, we were in contact. You could have called in if it was bad, and I hope it wasn't too bad getting here.
No, it wasn't bad at all. They did a great job of clearing the streets.
All right, good to hear, good to hear.
Well, good thing you're not coming from the east, because I think it's worse east of here, like Topeka and towards Kansas City. So you're here to talk today here. Recently, we've been aware of some deployments out at Fort Riley here, and as you were talking to me here ahead of the show, a lot of those going to the southwest of the United States.
Fort Riley was just tapped again, as we learned in the president's State of the Union address, that he was going to send about 3,700 soldiers to the southwest border. Fort Riley is once again a part of that. They just had engineers roll out in record time. I mean, once again, they have proven at Fort Riley that their deployability capabilities rival any that we have in the nation to get troops up and out. If you saw at Manhattan Airport, a big gray airplane sitting on the end of the runway in the form of a C-17, that was the platforms that they used to pick up soldiers and head them south toward the southwest border to prepare for really the caravans that the president talked about.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of us don't really know the significance of what's going on at the border. We hear about it in the news every day, what are some of the jobs that they're going to be tasked with down there?
Well, a lot of people are concerned about them directly impacting or connecting or engaging those folks that are coming up from the south. That's not true. They're Title 10 formations. So within the continental United States, because of posse comitatus, they can't do policing functions. These engineers will go down. They'll work hand-in-hand with Defense Support Civil Authorities, which that organization will probably be DHS, along with that has CBP agents that sit along the border. And they'll build obstacles, concertina wire. They'll improve roads. They'll put up obstacles basically to help the Customs and Border Patrol agents deal with those particular individuals come across. But they will not be in direct contact with the individuals. That's not what they do.
All right. So we've heard the president talking about wanting the barrier here in some sort of a wall, but this is kind of similar, kind of a human shield.
Sure. And we have Title 10 forces, active duty forces here in the United States that are on call to perform missions that are defense support to civil authorities in the form of hurricanes, floods. We have specific capabilities. Our National Guard brethren that reside in each state, that's their primary mission, and they do an incredible job. But there are some unique capabilities and aspects that reside within the active duty military that can respond and provide services. The Minneapolis bridge collapse is a perfect example. The Navy dive teams went in there and basically went underwater with the rebar, the concrete, very dangerous mission to identify any casualties that might be still underneath the water and stuck underneath the concrete.
All right. Well, it's very interesting. And what about, we hear about the disarray going on in Washington here and the chance that the president might declare a national emergency. If that happens, will we see more deployments, do you think?
Yeah, I don't like to speculate, but the president has certain authorities as really the commander-in-chief, and as the president, he has executive orders and executive powers. Of course, that comes politically with a lot of angst based on what side of the aisle you're on. But, the bottom line is the president has his number one mission, national security and protection of the citizens within the continental United States. And so we'll see. I'm hoping that there's some type of compromise or resolution that takes place. But, I always listen. I always try to pay attention. And I just think we as American people need to kind of temper action with wisdom and take a squat and listen instead of sitting there on the edge of our seats trying to figure out what one side or the other is going to do.
I couldn't agree more with that. Well said. Well, with the deployments here, obviously that has an economic impact on our region here, and we're going to feel it here for the next 10, 11 months.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of people are watching with a hawk's eye at the defense budget that's going to be proposed coming out of the White House. And, You know, I've heard $750 billion, which is an increase from the $719 billion. And everybody gets excited thinking that's additional force structure, possibly come to Fort Riley. The problem is the Army specifically right now is having a problem with retention. The Chief of Staff of the Army has said that. We undershot our recruitment goals by 10,000 individuals entering our force. That's significant. And I'm sure that this year they put forth some measures to try to increase those numbers. But I don't foresee any significant increase in recruitment. So we're probably going to be under. So you cannot build force structure, an additional force structure in the Army, if you can't recruit to fill the ranks. And that's the problem they're having right now. And the Secretary of the Army and the Secretary of Defense said that they want to apply additional dollars to technology, because we don't want China and Russia to be a near peer. We want them to be on the technology front. We want to be way out in front. And so we're going to apply dollars back to those corporations and businesses that are developing innovative technological advances. It gives us technological superiority, and that's what we need.
Speaking with Perry Wiggins here on the Governor's Military Council, deployment's obviously a big thing right now here at Fort Riley. You had some more to discuss with relations to that and how it affects our economy.
Sure. You know, a lot of people are – I did an analysis just recently, just taking a look at the state of Kansas, and then I focused in on really this region and things we can do to really build our military from an eco-devo, you know, an economic development perspective. So the deployments, for example, that we're having over the next several months here at Fort Riley – we've got two brigades, really three brigades, and if you really count aviation brigade, four brigades going out the door for the division. We've got one of those brigades that's going to go to the National Training Center in the month of March, which will leave about 3,500 soldiers on Fort Riley. A lot of folks that in the retail department and restaurants are concerned of what the impact's going to be, and rightfully so. So how do we mitigate this deployment sine wave that goes up and down that really we've been in for the past 15 to 17 years? How do we mitigate that? And there's areas where we can do that. I mean, $114 million gets spent on Fort Riley in contracting services from Department of Defense. My question is, where are those defense organizations and businesses and corporations outside the wire of Fort Riley? You don't really see them. Whether you're looking in Riley County, Geary County, Manhattan, or Junction City, you just don't see it. So I think the focus we have to do is shift it, place a azimuth and a velocity we want to move out on to identify and recruit defense industry outside the wire of Fort Riley so that we build a third leg of the stool and make ourselves less impacted by deployment deployability. McConnell has that right now. There are several other installations in the continental United States that have industry outside the wire, that when soldiers deploy, they're not as impacted because you have that defense spending that takes place. You have that industry spending, and it's not solely dependent on payroll and troops. And that's something we got to do. We got to break a paradigm here in the Central Flint Hills region and really apply ourselves toward a campaign plan, an action plan that brings defense industry in, just like every other divisional installation in the United States Army and in the United States.
All right, interesting. Well, let's take a break. We got more with Perry Wiggins coming up here on In Focus. Stay tuned. You're listening to KMAN.